If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Daniel, the first chapter. And I want to talk to you about a God of change who is on the move. The God of change is on the move. Get ready for changes. Now, the first thing that usually comes to some people's mind, oh, I get to move to Acapulco. You're talking about a ski chalet up in the Rockies somewhere, or I get to go to Maui. You see, God changing us is a thing on the inside of us. And if you don't let God change you on the inside, wherever you go, you take you. That's the problem. God's bringing changes inside of us. Amen. And you'll never be happy until you let God change you on the inside. Daniel, the first chapter, the king was looking for the best in the land. And the qualifications were set forth in verse 4. Children are young men in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. I know I've read this maybe a little too quickly, but this is looking for some elite young people. When the king needed help, and we see that it didn't make any difference whether they were slaves or from another country or what the color of their skin was or whatever, he was looking for the best. Children in whom was no blemish, well favored. It pays to get along with people. The rest of your life, your success is going to be tied in you getting along with somebody. Skillful in all wisdom. You can have wisdom, but not know what to do with it. Skillful in all wisdom. Cunning in knowledge. Understanding science. And such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Well, it was very interesting. Would you believe that the young men that qualified for this, in the vernacular of our day, would be born again, spirit-filled, Bible-toting, young people who had committed their lives to God? And they gave them names. Daniel, he named Belshazzar. It doesn't make a difference what the world calls you. It's what you are on the inside. There were people in the Bible that had to live over the name their mother gave them. Jabez was one of those. Man, if I was Jabez, I'd still been in counseling. Do you know what my mother did to me? But Jabez set his sights on something that was much higher than what his name was, and said, I'm going for God's best. So they gave the name to Daniel of Belshazzar, and the other three, they named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard that and heard those names through the years. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, Mama didn't tell him to do that. Daddy didn't tell him to do that. There was a fear of God inside of him that said, this is the way I'm going to live. You know, some people do right if somebody's watching them. But he purposed in his heart in a strange land when no one would have ever known the difference. Character is doing the right thing when no one's watching you. Telling the truth when you don't think you'll be caught. So Daniel purposed in his heart. I mean, this was a heart matter with Daniel. He said, it doesn't make a difference about mama, daddy, relatives. I'm in a strange land. I'm a slave. But he purposed in his heart. Boy, there is such rich truth in what I'm just reading to you. Purposed in his heart. He would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. How many know that God can bring you into favor? And the Bible said in verse 17, chapter 1, verse 17, still reading in Daniel, as for these four children or young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. These guys are getting sharper every day. Righteousness makes you sharp. Sin clouds your mind. Sin will cloud your life, cloud your future. And going down in verse 19, the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like these young men, Daniel. And therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all of his realm. These young men, that in the vernacular of our day, we would say they're born again, spirit-filled, love God with all their heart. When they were put to the test, they found them to be 10 times better. Not the double, not the triple, 10 times better. Can God do it? You better know God can do it. Well, the Bible said over in the second chapter, I'm just having to take select verses, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. The king, you remember, had the dream and no one had the answer to it. The secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. Saints, get a hold of this. There's a faith within you that in agreement with God can change the times and the seasons. A lot of craziness is going on in the world today, but God didn't put you in a little canoe just to float down the river. There's something inside of you that is a world changer. Something inside, there's a faith inside of you that can change things. That it can, I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat, I'm talking about just what's right. Or any other political, there's something in you that can bring change in the world in which we live. If I didn't think I was making a difference in the world, I don't think I'd want to live a day longer, because that's why I was born. That's who I am. That's why you were born. That's why God has done the work of grace in your life. And speaking of God, said he changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings and setteth up kings and giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might and hath made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made me known unto the king's matter. Let's go down to verse 27. I think that's about all we need to read for right now. 2 verses there. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, can not the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? Why don't people have the answer? With all the food we have in the world, why can't the world be fed? What's the answer to all the craziness that's going on in the world today? Strange nation we are. We'll fight you, but we'll come in and rebuild you. You lose 20,000 in an earthquake, and one of the next flights into your nation will be our flights coming with food and help and humanitarian aid. Thank God for this great nation. So he said, don't your astrologers, your magicians, your intellectuals, your soothsayers, don't they have the answer? But notice in chapter 2, verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dreams and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then he began to tell. Just taunted them a little bit. He said, what's with all of your staff? Don't they know what time of day it is? Can't they give you answers? All those guys that are paid such, you know, exorbitant fees and have all these great titles. Don't they have the answer, king? The answer was obvious. They didn't. But the man of God was able to say, there is a God in heaven. And I tell you this morning, there is a God in heaven. And he is able by the anointing of his Holy Spirit to make you 10 times stronger, 10 times better, 10 times more effective than anything in this world system. And he's my God and I praise him today. I said, he's my God and I praise him today. I just want to hit the highlights of some things that I feel God has been dealing with my heart about as we look into the hour in which we live. Get ready for change. God's on the move. I said, get ready for change. God is on the move. God is moving by his Spirit. There's some changes that are coming. In fact, the word wisdom was used a number of times. I believe it's some 11 times that I looked at. Wisdom, matters of wisdom. Wisdom, might, in Daniel I'm speaking about. There's some changes coming. I prophesy there's going to be stronger preaching than ever before. Have you ever wondered why Jesus went to John the Baptist meeting? He didn't use deodorant. Didn't use Listerine or Scope, probably. He didn't wear a 3-piece suit. And you had to really want to get there, because he was out in the wilderness. And when you got there, the only way to be a part of what he's talking about, you had to repent and you had to be baptized in water. So religion found that very offensive. But he was a preacher of the word. Why did Jesus go to John the Baptist? You know, I know there's many reasons. His obedience, it was there he received the Holy Spirit. He gives us the example of water baptism. He gives us the example of, though he didn't need to repent, honoring the message of repentance. You know why Jesus went to John the Baptist meetings? Because it's the only place he could find some life. Only place he could find some life. See, Jesus had to bring his own life to the synagogue. He'd walk in and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he was the life in the midst of religion. So one of the things that I say to you, you know what it takes to quicken anointed preaching? Anointed hearers. You know what turns a preacher on? Alert people. Those that are ready to hear what the Word of God has to say. And those that are excited about the things of God. I just tell you, God's Word will be heard. God's Word will be heard. I said something prophetically as I was ministering last week, that there's going to be stronger praise and worship than ever before, everywhere. Stronger praise and worship, because God's song will be sung. When it was God's time, there's no way you could stop those angels from speaking the word of God. As those angels spoke the word of God to Zacharias and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary and to the shepherds, there was no way you could stop the word of God. And I tell you, God's word will be heard. And God's song will be sung. God's songs will be sung. Oh yes. And I tell you, God's blessing is going to be poured out in a stronger way than ever before. The Bible did speak of the wealth of the world laid up for the just. You say, well, I've heard all that preached and I've heard all that taught. And if you have that attitude, I'm going to tell you where you've missed it right there. You lost your faith connection with it. It has become only words. And I know there are some that are glib with it and some are foolish with prosperity. But, hey, the bottom line is we've helped people this week that couldn't pay their bills. I can't do that. We can't do that all the time, and we can't do it. But, I mean, you know, everybody wants to pay your bills. If you have any character at all, everybody wants to pay your bills on time. Everybody wants, you understand, we've all been caught in that situation of life called friction when you have two back payments rubbing up against one another. But God delivers us from that. And if you'll just be faithful and tithe, there were testimonies all over this audience that when life had caved in and there was no life and there was no help, came in here. Lady, just the other day, the testimony, been coming to this church for almost a year, walking 12 blocks, 12 lonely blocks, all kinds of weather. Didn't have a car, coming to service, then walking home 12 blocks. But you know what? She just kept on serving God. Didn't bother her that other people were riding. Praise God. Because she had a ride on the inside. I said she had a ride on the inside. Be thankful for the wheels that you have when you leave today. Be thankful that you can get from point A to point B, okay? But it was called to my attention just a couple of weeks ago. Now, there's been a great promotion put in place of leadership. Now, has a car. Oh, just keep on keeping on. Just keep on being faithful to God. You may be on the bottom of the stack, but God can and God will bring you out. But I tell you what will short circuit it quicker than anything. Well, he does it for everybody else, but he doesn't do it for me. Yeah. You're suffering from your words. Your words chart your course. You know, if we could hear the testimonies of the tough stuff that's happening in certain people's lives across, and we've got our own testimony. I'll tell you some tough stuff over the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. God's blessed us, and Joe and I consider ourselves greatly blessed, but we've had some tough stuff to deal with. We've been challenged as much as, I don't thank God our marriage is strong, but I'm talking about in life and in things. But it's not going to change my preaching, and it's not going to change my faith, and it's not going to change my confession of God's word, and it's not going to turn me into a sour, bitter individual. Because I know that if we just keep on playing in God's game of life, that we win. We win. We win. So God's song will be sung. God's word will be preached. There is a greater financial breakthrough that's coming for those who will just receive it. Hold on to that. Don't compare yourself. Don't try to argue. Don't try to figure it out. Just keep on living and keep on giving. And keep on going forward. And see what God will do for you. Another prophecy, we're going to see a greater harvest than we've ever seen before. I said we're going to see a greater harvest than we have seen before. Oh, I want to shout that from the housetops. We're going to see a greater harvest than we have seen before. I said a greater harvest than we have seen before. We are going to see it. We've sown too much for it. We are seeing a harvest, but we're going to see a greater harvest. And the stories now are coming in quite often. I know our sign's tired and it will be replaced. That's one of the steps we'll be taking. But I mean, even though it's old and tired, people say, every time I drive by that sign, something said, go to church there. Go to church there. Now, I don't have that freeway wired out there. I don't have a loudspeaker saying, thus saith the Lord, go to that church. But as they drove by, something in their heart said, go to that church. And said, we came and we've been blessed. You know, God still knows how to build churches. I'll tell you, this thing of church building has gotten so scientific that it's almost crazy. It's almost like a New York multi-level thing or something of that nature. My God, I want a church that God builds. I want a church the Holy Ghost builds. I want a church that Jesus builds. I want people to come in that won't come in and just mouth and be unhappy and it's just. I want people to come and say, my Lord, thank God I'm home. It's home. This is where God brought me. That's what it's all about. I believe we're going to see a greater harvest. There's no shortage on sinners. And you know, sometimes I have to remind my own heart, I didn't ask for a tornado. I didn't ask for our building to be so severely damaged that it would not have been good stewardship to have tried to put it back together again. I know the path behind the scenes that we went through for months and months and all the... it was a mess except for the grace of God. And God began to just level that thing out and make the rough places to be plain and the crooked places to be straight. And God opened this piece of property. I can't doubt that. God opened this piece of property for us. And God put us on these acres. And then when it came down to the final negotiations, well, what are you going to do about the school that was inside the building? And now we're trying to figure out square footage. And how do you do this? And what do you? And finally they just said, this thing is just getting too complicated. They said, why don't you just sell the downtown property and just build a school? I said, okay. And so God worked it out. We didn't just put up a nice building next door just to see if we could outdo some other school or some other opera. I'm telling you, that school's a miracle next door. And it's not my doing, it's God's doing. I'm just trying to stay in the bus. There's a Methodist pastor that shared something this past week. He said, I came across this story in an old book on my shelf. A group of tourists on a bus visiting southern battlefields listened stoically to the commentary of their southern guide. Here, he said, a handful of southern boys routed 30,000 Yanks. And here a battalion from Georgia ambushed a corps of Yankee troops. And over there, two brave Virginia boys captured an entire northern regiment. Finally, a lady from Connecticut got brave enough to ask, listen, didn't the North ever win a single victory? No, ma'am, said the guide politely. As long as I drive this bus, they never will. Well, I'll tell you, I don't care what the devil said. As long as I'm driver of this bus, I'm going to speak the word. Except it's true. I'm excited. Are you excited? Thank God I'm excited. I'm thrilled about the things of God. So there's a lot of things that I can't get to because of time, and I think I've said some of the main things that need to be said. God's word will be heard, and God's songs will be sung. And the seed that you've put in the ground will come back. The seed that you've put in the ground, in faith believing, it will come back. The harvest that is needed. People... there is no answer. You come to Daniel's age. And I also prophesy, this world is going to get sick and tired of lies and innuendos. And God's going to put a spirit of smart on this nation. We're going to say, wait just a minute. Who's telling us what? What's it all about? In Daniel's time, I am not taking one scripture out of context. In what I've read for you here today, in Daniel's time, the wisest intelligentsia of that day did not have the answer in the Washington of that day and hour. They didn't know. Didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle the king's vision. And these were men that supposedly were skilled and trained. Of course, their teacher was the wrong teacher. It was Satan, because magic and all that stuff is not of God. You don't need magic. All you need is the power of the Holy Ghost. And so when the world system fired its best shot and said, we don't know, he said, well, let's find out who does. And the young men they found were young men that had character. And they could stand in the king's presence. I mean, they don't just go, what's up, man? You know. I mean, they weren't just flopping through life. They weren't just bopping. I mean, these were guys that knew how to say, yes, sir. Shake your hand. Look you in the eye. And just do what's right. You know, there came a time in my life, for the most part, I did what I did because of Dad and Mom. But there came a time when my lightning fast mind said, hey, this is not a mom and a dad deal. If I'm going to have any success in life, I better get with the project and just do what's right. It's not a matter of pleasing Mom and Dad. I mean, what it takes to make Mom and Dad happy is what it's going to take to make an employer happy. It's what it's going to take to make a professor happy. It's what it's going to take to make whatever you do in life to work for you. This is not just a mommy and daddy thing. There came a time, yes, I loved and respected my father and mother. And yes, I did a lot of things probably because they wanted me to do them. But there came a time that I just did what was right because my lightning fast mind said, this is the only thing that's going to work in life. You join the Marines and take on the drill instructor. It'll take you a while to get off the ground. Because the drill instructor is there to knock mama out of you. Your breakfast in bed out of you. Your comeback out of you. Your sass out of you. He's there to say, yes, sir. He's there to make a man in ways that maybe normal life didn't make a man. So what am I saying? When I look to the Christmas story, wise men sought Jesus. And when the world didn't know what to do, hey, you know Jesus, the birth of Jesus changed politics. I mean, it completely rearranged. I know it didn't stop everything that was happening, but it got the king's attention. It got the ruler's attention. And I'm going to tell you, the birth of Jesus is still getting people's attention. And I've just about had it up to here. You can take the Ten Commandments out, but you're not going to take God out. You can take the name of Jesus out. You can get by with almost anything. Good Lord, you can almost sneak a God in there every once in a while. But when you say the J word, you're in trouble. Jesus. And the Bible plainly said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that leads me to another prophecy. And I'll speak it. The work has already been done 2,000 years ago, but some of you have wrestled with this and you've wrestled with that and you've wrestled with things that have become established in your life and you wrestle with things that you don't want to think and you don't want to do and you don't want to be. But I'm here to tell you that there's a new power. The blood of Jesus Christ is going to be released and sin's power is going to be broken in an unprecedented way in the year that is before us. Habits and bondages and things you just can't get around. You, as hard as you try, you're going to learn to do what the choir sang this morning. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. And so it was that when the Washington of that day and time could not find among their own intelligentsia the answer, they found it in some young men that loved their God and said, you can call us square. You can call us anything you want to call us. But we're going to serve our God, and we're going to please God, and we're going to do the right thing.